Welcome back. 349, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT, Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. And joining me now, the one and only Charlie Hurt. He writes the nuclear option column here at the Washington Times. Today's is entitled, We're from the Government, and We're Here to Learn Everything About You. Hey, Charlie, how are you?
I'm real good. How are you doing, Andy?
I'm doing just fine. I read your column this morning. Was laughing. Actually, you know, as I was reading the column, I was also kind of watching Fox News a little bit in the background, and I laughed out loud because they actually had a video of the shrimp on the treadmill that we've talked about for the past couple of weeks.
That's got to be one good-looking shrimp. I mean, you know, it must be like that shrimp must have such a smooth body.
I got to tell you. It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life, and I just laughed out loud. I said, God, that's what Charlie and I have been talking about, and here they are, they're playing it.
You know, honestly, I think if you actually sort of, if Martians landed here and you explained all of this to them, they would be like, no, that's not, there's no way that's true. That can't happen. And then they turn right around, and then we find out they spent millions on a study to study. Oh, did you see the most recent one after the thing about the fat lesbian?
Yeah.
Then they did another one about last week where they spent, I think it was like $28 million on why lesbians are more often tend to drink at dangerous levels.
Yeah, in fact, I did a story on that because if you added the two together, actually it was $2.7 million for that one and $1.5 for the earlier study. So in the past couple of weeks, we have spent $4.2 million on lesbian research, but yet we can't have kids going through the White House.
Yeah, and I think as you pointed out last time, you know, you could have you for a lot less money, you could have figured that out. Maybe if they stopped drinking so much, they would lose weight.
Maybe they're drinking because they've looked at themselves.
I have discovered during Lent that when you don't drink, you wind up losing weight.
That's right.
It's an amazing thing
that
happens.
Right.
And the problem with that is that then you have to take your pants to the seamstress to get your waist taken in.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your column today. You're dealing with the census and the fact that it used to be pretty simple. You know, when it first got fired up, you know, a billion years ago, they would ask you very simple questions. Now they want to know everything about you.
Yeah, and the strangest thing about it to me, Andy, is that it was originally designed in an attempt at fairness because they wanted everyone to be equally represented in Congress, and the way to do that was to make sure that every district, congressional district in the country, had the exact same number of voters, so nobody had an undue amount of influence, any more influence in Washington than somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Today, they want to know if you're disabled. They want to know what time you leave to work in the morning. They want to know what your relationship is with everybody in your family. They want to know how fertile you are. That's my favorite. They want to know how fertile the women are in particular households. And the reason is because they want to be able to know where to siphon a whole bunch of free stuff from the federal government. And I cannot think of anything that is more contrary to the simple concept of fairness than that. But that's what the whole census has turned into now.
Yeah. They actually want to know how many bedrooms are in your home.
If somebody called you at home and asked you, so Andy, how many bedrooms you got in your house? What would you do? You'd call the police.
Yeah.
Or what's your plumbing like?
Yeah.
Or how fertile are you?
Yeah.
I mean, you would literally, you would call the police and you know, bar at the door and get your gun.
You know, this is reminding me, I bought a new car last week, and the guy at the dealer started asking me, like, silly questions, some questionnaire that was handed to him, I guess, by his boss or by the company, and he started asking questions like, what have you done for your car lately? and I thought he was joking, and I looked at him and went, well, let's see. We put new tires on the car. That was good for the car. I put a new battery in the car. That was good for the car.
Yes.
The guy's like writing all that stuff down.
You know, at some point, though, for those of us who struggle, you know, every day our goal is to be honest with, you know, just to be honest with everything. But you get asked absurd questions by the government, and you find yourself just sort of making things up because it's just so utterly ridiculous, and you cannot believe. I mean, and the mere notion that in a country where we strive so hard to be colorblind, the fact that you have to pronounce your race, and you have to, and they force you to divide yourselves among races, it really is pernicious and deeply offensive.
You know, and there are rules regarding the census. I believe you're ordered to answer the questions, although did I see in your story that Rand Paul wants that to stop?
Yeah, you face criminal penalties, and of course, that's if you don't, you know, you refuse to answer things. If you do answer things incorrectly, you know, who knows where that goes? And so Rand Paul has come up with a proposal to basically make this annual, and you know, the other thing that is kind of creepy about all of it is that it used to be the census was every 10 years, because that's how often we would redraw the lines based on new, you know, shifts in the population. Now they do it every single year. Every year they do a census questionnaire for people that people are forced to answer questions. And so Rand Paul has a bill in that would make it completely voluntary. If somebody wants to fill it out, the thing, they can, but they don't have to. And of course, the problem there then is that will totally skew the determination about where are all the fat lesbians, so that we can study them in wherever, what district they're in, which is honestly what the federal government wants to do. I mean, that's the same. There's no difference from what they're already doing.
All right. Before I let you run out of here today, your thoughts on CPAC?
Wow. Well, it was. I thought that I was really impressed again with Rand Paul. I was very impressed with his, obviously, his performance, and he did very well. And I actually also thought that I really enjoyed Sarah Palin's bit. You know, she, you know, she's funny. She has a way. You know, I get that she is a very polarizing figure and turns a lot of people who don't like her way off. But the point, and this is the struggle that Republicans have right now, and they have to figure it out. She speaks a language that people get.
Yeah.
And I've always believed that she is a very, very valuable person in that respect. And while it's easy to, you know, make fun of her and marginalize her, Republicans are going to have to figure out how Republicans need to learn how to talk to people, and they have to learn from people like her, because she's very good at it. Whatever flaws you want to say about her, she is a very effective communicator.
Yeah, and I'll tell you who another one is, and that's Ben Carson. You and I spoke about him last week or the week before, and this guy, he just knocks him dead because he is so down to earth. He's so quiet in his demeanor, and he says things that need to be said. You know,
he manages to do all of it and remain so far outside of politics.
Yeah.
That you don't, you know, he's not smeared with all that stuff. But I mean, what do you think? I mean, I hear what he says, and it sounds strangely like he is taking all of this very seriously, that he really might, you know, consider getting in and mixing things up.
Yeah.
And I mean, is that your impression?
Yeah, that's my impression. And, you know, I think it was Limbaugh pointed out that the Democrats have got to be petrified, you know, knowing that this guy's coming down the pike. You know, it's a possibility that he could run. And if he does, you know, I got a feeling that not only is he going to get the Republicans, he's going to get a heck of a lot of Democrats.
Yeah, and because he's so totally outside of politics.
Yeah.
He's not, you know, he is just an extraordinary guy, an extraordinarily accomplished guy, and he sees things in very basic terms. You know, there's that wonderful movie about his life called Gifted Hands.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch because it's not only because it deals with some of the surgical, you know, milestones that he achieved in brain surgery, but also because of his personal life growing up in Detroit. It was hard. Everything was going against him. But I sat down with my children and their younger children, and they watched it, and they were, they I mean, there were times they had to look away because it was difficult. but they were so taken by him.
Yeah, I know. He's easy to become infatuated with, that's for sure. Charlie, I got to run. Thank you, my friend. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Andy.
See ya. Charlie Hurt of the Washington Times. 3:59, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Stay tuned. Hour number two on the way. We'll check in with White House reporter Dave Boyer.